happening locally. The news.
And let us take a look at some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The report from the Department of Epidemiology of the Ministry of Health highlighted on Wednesday that in the last 24 hours, three deaths were reported from COVID-19, and one from previous dates was updated. With these new deaths in the country, there's a cumulative total of 8,236 deaths. A lethality of 1% is maintained, according to the entity's report. The number of new cases of those infected this Wednesday is 3,825. The ministry advised that they did 16,879 tests, and this gave us a positivity of 22.7%. Meanwhile, the districts that reported the highest number of positive cases are Rufina Alfaro in San Miguelito with 114, Penonome in Cocle with 112, Juan Diaz with 112, and Betania with 94 cases in the District of Panama. According to the report, there are 29,029 active cases, of which 28,779 are in isolation and 250 are hospitalized. Those who are in isolation, they're divided into 28,722 in their residences and 57 are in the so-called hospital hotels. While those hospitalized, we've got 211 in the wards and 39 in intensive care units. A national health alert was issued by the Ministry of Health due to the possible appearance of the monkeypox virus in the country. It was confirmed on Wednesday. In a statement from the Ministry of Health, it is specified that the alert was confirmed by Minister Luis Francisco Sucre, who explained that the measure requires all health personnel, both from the public and private systems, to report anyone with suspicious symptoms of the disease. Similarly, it is highlighted that it was ordered to redouble epidemiological surveillance in hospitals and entry points of the country before the entry of any person with symptoms of the disease. The authorities reiterated that work is being done to set up two isolation rooms, one at the Irma de Lourdes Zatzenatos Hospital and the other at the San Miguel Archangel Hospital, in case patients with monkeypox are reported. In addition, care protocols are structured. The ministry recalled that the disease is transmitted by contact of a person with an animal that has the virus, which enters the body through skin wounds, bites and scratches. It is also transmitted by close contact of one person with another infected person. Similarly, by unprotected contact with injuries, bleeding, body fluids, respiratory droplets, coughing or sneezing, and contaminated materials such as clothing and sheets used by the sick person. As it is passed through close contact, it can be spread through body fluids, as blood and semen, etc., through wounds, and of course it can be transmitted through sexual contact. Initial symptoms include fever, headache, muscle pain, back pain, swollen lymph nodes, chills and exhaustion. A skin rash can develop, often starting on the face and then spreading to other parts of the body, including the genitals. The ministry highlights that the symptoms of this disease can last from 5 to 21 days. The Court of Honour and Discipline of the Cambio Democratico, the CD party, began on Wednesday the oral hearings of 15 deputies considered dissidents who face a process of expulsion and revocation of mandate. In accordance with what is established, this process will take place in different hearings, and the first corresponds to the deputies Yanibel Abrego, General Secretary of the CD, Nelson Jackson, Hernan Delgado and Mercedes Galvez. In the morning hours of Tuesday, the first hearing was held without the presence of these deputies, and it was reported that they did not need to be present. They were represented by attorney Carlos Carrillo. At the end of the hearing, the prosecutor of the CD Collective, Raul Andrade, expressed that they have respected all the guarantees of the process and trust that the deputies will be sanctioned for failing to comply with the party's statutes. In a term of 5 days after the last hearing, the Court of Honour and Discipline will make its pronouncement. Our accusation is well-founded, based on the principles, requirements and offences established in the party's statute, said Andrade. The judge of guarantees, Adria José Hernández, charged on Wednesday for the alleged commission of the crime of embezzlement against the former director of the Panamanian Autonomous Cooperative Institute, Willie Chin Lee. Hernandez also applied to Chin Lee the precautionary measure of preventing him from leaving the country and the periodic report once a month. In the hearing held in the accusatory criminal system of the First Judicial District, the anti-corruption prosecutor, Olmedo Gormez, presented as an argument an audit of the Comptroller General of the Republic that revealed a series of irregularities in the appointment of officials and the unjustified payment of per diems for the sum of $194,000. Gormez based the accusation of the aforementioned audit report and on a series of evidence collected by his office during the investigation. During a hearing, the accused's defense filed an appeal for the prescription of the criminal action, but said request was rejected by the judge. He also alleged that his client's fundamental rights were violated during the process. The investigation began in February of 2019, when the former controller, Federico Humbert, delivered the audit report to the public ministry in which the alleged irregularities were located. On May the 18th of 2019, the then anti-corruption prosecutor, Tanya Sterling, carried out a visual inspection at the IPACUP headquarters to locate the officials who were appointed irregularly and establish whether they were carrying out the functions for which they had been appointed. A ruling of the Supreme Court, with a presentation by Judge Ángela Russo de Sedeño and the disagreement of Judge Maribel Cornejo, denied a La Prensa a habeas date request to find out who the beneficiaries of scholarships and non-reimbursable financial aid from the Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources. This is a FARU that exceeded $50,000. The ruling, based on false premises, also reveals a resolution that the FARU approved in early August of 2021, 3 weeks before the request from La Prensa arrived, which declares the resolutions of the committee and minutes of the National Council of the IFARU confidential, as well as all the information handled by this institution due to the granting of any of the loans it grants in which personal data is recorded. With this resolution, the IFARU nullifies the scope of the transparency law on the use of state funds. Strictly speaking, the IFARU did not provide the required data or indicate where they could be consulted, said Judge Cornejo, in saving her vote. The authorities of the Public Ministry and the National Border Service Centre Front reported that 12 people were apprehended for their alleged involvement in illegal migrant trafficking from Panama to Costa Rica. The first Specialised Prosecutor's Office Against Organised Crime of the Public Ministry reported that 20 proceedings were carried out in different parts of the country. Prosecutor Hermeldo Marquez highlighted that Operation Twilight 2 is the continuation of the investigation that took place in September of 2021, in which some 24 people were apprehended. It was stressed that this criminal group was engaged in the smuggling of national migrants from Haiti, Ecuador and Bangladesh. This criminal behaviour carries a sentence of 15 to 20 years in prison. The Public Ministry will request the formulation of the corresponding imputation, said Marquez. It was also added that this criminal network illegally moved migrants from the Panama border with Colombia to the border of Costa Rica, and it was reported that these people, all Panamanians, will be brought before a guarantee judge. No migrants, however, were located in these actions. The Centrefront Commissioner, Moises Correa, announced that the raids on residences took place in the provinces of Darien, Panama, West Panama, and Veraguas. He maintained that cell phones, computers, and USB devices were seized. Prosecutor Marquez reported that in the investigations they were able to discover that this group charged between $200 and $500 per person to carry out the transfer from one point to another, evading immigration control posts. The former administrator of the Panama Canal Authority, the ACP, Jorge Quijano, described a situation of blackmail that he experienced when he held that position and went to the Budget Commission of the National Assembly to support the entity's budget. They put me in a little room and they took my cell phone. They, the deputies, all the parties, by the way, were represented there, he said on Tuesday. This is on the Radiography program, which is broadcast by ECO TV. Later he added that they wanted to raise the budget for contributions from the canal to the state from $1,640 million to $1,800 million. I told them, I'm sorry, it cannot be done. He narrated that he still has the letters, also stating that the deputies asked him for jobs and specific increases for employees who were part of their groups. Isn't that patronage? They couldn't count on me, he said. Quijano said that on that date, the president of the Budget Commission was Luis Barriga of the Panamanista Party. In 2017, the year when Quijano assures that the event happened, the approval of the canal budget was controversial, precisely because the Assembly wanted to influence it. A note published on the 20th of September of that year recounts the controversy that took place in the country after the Commission approved in the first debate to reduce the entity's operating expenses by $141 million to raise direct contributions to $1,800 million to the state. At that time, jurists said that what the deputies wanted was unconstitutional. Therefore, when the ACP budget bill was going to be discussed in the second debate, the deputies were forced to lower it to the first debate to leave it once again as the ACP had presented it. Luis Barriga, as president of the commission at that time, assured that the project would go down to the first debate so that the morbidity ends. Once returned to the commission, the ACP budget was approved in an expedited manner. Well, Barriga's version, consulted by the La Prensa newspaper on the subject, Barriga assured on Tuesday that he does not know anything of what Quijano is saying. In his opinion, the country cannot be managed through gossip and false statements. But during his presidency, he said nobody was put in any little room, and added that he did know what that little room was. He was referring to, anyway. However, it was clear in assuring that the Budget Commission under presidency, his presidency, fulfilled its supervisory role. The ACP is a state entity. We were constructive critics, and that was our duty, he added. The Mayor's Office of Panama reported that it began in this month of May with the delivery of the vehicle plates for new cars. Likewise, he announced that next July, they will supply the decals corresponding to the year 2022. The entity explained that the delay in the delivery of the plates was due to the fact that the Chapala, a vocational school, faced a shortage of supplies, such as reflective paper, due to the logistical problems that currently exist for the importation of products. The mayor's office distanced itself from the crisis of the delivery of these plates and stickers by pointing out that their only function is to deliver them to the users. Regarding the decal, he indicated that the design corresponds to the Land Transit and Transportation Authority, while the manufacture, well, that belongs to Chapala. On May the 4th of 2021, President Laurentino Cortizo sanctioned Law 214, which establishes the use of the single vehicle license plate for a period of 5 years. And that's it. There we go. Some of those things that are relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's breakfast show.
What's happening locally? The news.